Blog Talk Radio.
Rah. Killer Mike Bamboo. You already know. Yeah. No surprise, I'm from a gangbang culture, but we can keep it civil or pull a thang-thang on ya. Southern California where the sun don't quit, intergenerational gang so sons don't quit. But immediately you see that the problems that's in my city are secondary to what's propelling it in my city. I mean really break it down, take poor black and brown, educate them poor, take the jobs from out the town, then inundate them with the date of drugs and dumb TV, locked into a zoo and hunted daily by the police. Then you get a group of youth who know they don't belong, then they gather up and organize a number up strong. But see, the failure isn't seeing that the problem ain't the gang, it's the situation in the communities where we hang. So I'm so pro-gang, it might scare a motherfucker, cause I fix the misconception that the enemies are brothers.
Bang on the setup, bang on the setup, bang on the setup, upset the setup, bang on the setup, bang on the setup, bang on the setup, homie, we been set up.
I tell them, I went from a street gang thing, then I joined a military fleet marine force thing. From a little bitty gang in the south of Los Angeles to dragging bodies out of their house to help a government who hell bent on keeping money spent on the missile. The reality's the difference between them shits is little. We had the objective of arming up over money, and they had the objective of arming up over money. And we told kids join us, we the truth. Lies about protecting our black to get recruits. Then we found that we getting killed for the hood. And we don't own a single speck of dirt on that hood. Whether in a zone down south in Decatur, or in a flatlands off of Lenox and La Brea, or in a low-rise project in Chicago, big money come in and buy up our body.
So your sets up, we about to upset the setup.
We about to upset the setup.
Up to upset the setup.
Throw your sets up, we about to upset the setup.
Upset the setup.
Up to upset the
setup. I do it for the Crips and the Blooders, BGF Brothers, the real Freeway Ricky Ross and Chris Dutters. I do my thing for Hoover, I represent for Ford. So my folk and my people, so they set to support. Support me the master, she might say the shot. So maybe next summer, no mama's gotta cry. Cause maybe next summer, nobody gotta die. Hell, even if we fail, somebody gotta try. The only way the system rule is somebody gotta lie. And the lie they told is old, they base it on your race. They separate you black, you brown, you yellow, and white face. Then we further separate by joining gangs and legislate. That our neighborhoods are now at war like we are separate states. So the police occupy our hood to keep down all the drama. So the Starbucks they just built is comfortable for soccer mama. And American Apparel comfortable for all the hipsters. And it's zero tolerance for all you spicks and you niggas and you chinks and you crackers. And it ain't about who's whiter and it ain't about who's blacker, but the money is a factor. And the factor is the factor we've got moved up out the hood. When starvation is present and absent is a job, a man will simply starve or he will form a mob. If you should form a mafia, then you should think Sicilian. Buy the hood for real. Every block, every field, every build,
every build.
Feed the chill,
feed the chill.
Gang bang,
gang bang.
Build,
build.
Feed the chill,
feed the chill.
Feed the chill,
feed the chill.
Gang bang,
gang bang.
On the system,
on the system.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. The struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer, right?
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mitch Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, I'm sorry about your brother.
begin with Eric's.
Starring Gary Dordan from TV CSI.
This is the military, David.
Through the line, revolutionary greetings. Plus another edition of Jordan University Radio. I'm your hope we might secure, where our goals are fivefold. Our first goal is to eradicate functional literacy among new African prisoners. Our second goal is to eradicate cultural ignorance among new African prisoners. Our third goal is to transfer the criminal mentality to the new African mentality. Our fourth goal is to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of the new African community. Our fourth goal is to prepare a new African prisoner for release, reducing new African recidivism. Now, overall goal is to transfer the whole prison to the slave complex, which is the prison system, to the beginning to learn through educational means. And also by the aspect of Cree institutions and creating programs that are transferred to people's needs. Before I bring in our guest tonight, let's go over a couple of events that happened in history during this week. On April the 16th. Hold up. On April the 16th, 1862, slavery outlawed in the District of Columbia. On 1868, the 16th through the 17th, Louisiana Brothers approved new constitution, including the first new African lieutenant governor, Officer J. Dunn, and the first new African state treasurer, Antoine Dubuclay. 1945, at a tryout for new African ball players in the Negro League, Boston Red Sox manager taught and abused new African players, including Jackie Robinson, and sent them home without a contract. April the 17th, 1915, a white Georgia mob lynches Caesar Sheffield, a new African man, after he is accused of stealing meat. In 1962, Cuban revolutionary crushed USA at the Bay of the Pigs in an invasion. In 1983, Alice Walker wins Pulitzer Prize for The Color Purple. In 2001, the state of Mississippi voted by April 18, 1818, Andrew Jackson defeated forces of Native American New African at Battle of Sovereignty in the first Seminole War. 1846, New Jersey enacts a law to bind enslaved New African people to indefinite servitude as their apprentices for life, who cannot leave the state or their job without written permission from their masters or mistresses. 1864, surrounded by superior rebel force, the first Kansas colored volunteers smashed through rebel lines and sustained heavy casualties in an engagement of Poison Spring, Arkansas. Captain New African soldiers were murdered by the Confederate troops. Okay, let me see. In 1903, publication of W. E. Du Bois, The Soul of Black Folks, crystallized opposition to Booker T. Washington program for social and political subordination. Okay. In 1941, Dr. Robert Weaver named Director of Office of Production Management Section, charged with integrating blacks into the National Defense Program. Also 1941, bus companies of New York City agreed to hire new African drivers and mechanics, agreement in their 4-week boycott. In 1955, hold on. 1955, the Brandenburg Conference of Leaders of Colored Nations of Africa and Asia opened in Indonesia. In 1966, Bill Russell became the first new African coach in the NBA. In 1980, Jim Bob became an independent nation. That was in 1980, which was there 43 years ago. It wasn't long ago. April 19, 1775, New African men and the white Minutemen fought British soldiers at Lexington and Concord. 1925, Paul Robeson held a concert at Princeton Theater in New York's Greenwich Village. City said was the first time a new African soloist had ever presented an all-spiritual concert in 1960. The home of Z. Alexander Luby, counsel for 153 students arrested in sit-in demonstration destroyed by dynamite bomb, more than 2,000 students marched on the Nashville City Hall in protest. Also in 1960, the Southwest African People Organization SWAPO was formed. In 1969, 100 new African students carrying rifles and shotguns see the Stewart Union Building at Cornell University to protest universal racism. In 1980, new African women wounded by a KKK shooter in Chattanooga, Tennessee. In 1984, Baba Seko Ndinga became a life sentence for, they say, his alleged involvement in the Brinks robbery. The brother now free at his home and liberated and doing the work. Okay. On April the 20th, 1871, the Third Enforcement Act defined the Klan conspiracy of rebellion against the United States and empowered the president to suspend the writ of habeas corpus and declare martial law in rebellious areas. 1877, federal troops withdrew from public buildings, New Orleans, and armed Democrats took over the state government. In 1964, school officials said 86% of the new African students in Cleveland public schools participated in a one-day boycott. Also in 1965, Georgia business owner Lester Maddox threatened three new African students at gunpoint for trying to eat in his segregated restaurant. He is acquitted of all charges and later elevated to the governor status. 1971, Supreme Court ruled that busing could be used to integrate schools. On April 21st, 1878, the ship Azar left Charleston with 206 new African immigrants bound for Liberia. 1966, prior first class Milton L. Oliver III awarded Medal of Honor for valor in Vietnam War. April 22nd, 1950, Charles Hamilton Houston architect of the NAACP legal campaign, died in Washington at the age of 54. In 1964, New York police arrested 294 demonstrators and opened a world fair. In 1968, Trinity College students occupied school administration buildings to protest campus bias. 1974, Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies reported that 2,991 new Africans held elected office in 45 states and the District of Columbia, compared with 2,621 April 1973 and 1,185 1969. The Center reported 108 new African mayors. Michigan had a large number of new African elected officials, 194, followed Mississippi, 191. 1981, Braise Ford Reese Brazil, economist and former dean of Mohawk College down in Atlanta at the age of 76. You know, those are events that happened in history during this week. You know, plus or more, but those are just you know, but the show must continue. You know, on this show tonight, we're going to be speaking to a new African political prisoner, Joker Hashima Jensei, the founder of AIM, Autonomy Infrastructure Mission, and also a couple of sisters that work for him as well, Sister B and Sister Maya. We're going to open up people's lines and see who we got on right quick. Okay, so who we got on? Open up the line right quick. Okay, free line. Who's on?
Peace. My name is B. I am the state coordinator for the Autonomous Infrastructure Mission and the CEO of the initiative, the Secured Agricultural Commune.
Okay. Who's also on with you? Hold on right quick. Is the Ed on your line?
He is not yet, but we can begin and wait for him to jump on.
Okay. So I know he was trying to get in, and They would give us a complication in regard to certain things. So hold on right quick. Okay. Well, before we start, tell the people a little about yourself before we get into this. Who you are, you know, where you grew up at, things of that nature. Tell the people about yourself.
So, again, my name is Z Mahaji. I have been in the struggle for the past 15 years. I'm located in Michigan. My focus is on implementing the Autonomous Infrastructure Mission, which is the blueprint for genuine revolution, and building community and unity.
Okay. And tell a little bit more. Hold up. Tell a little bit more about what you do in regard to being a coordinator, and tell a little bit about the Autonomy Infrastructure Mission so people can know exactly what you're talking about.
So the Autonomous Infrastructure Mission is based off on several initiatives. Those initiatives are the blueprint for unity building and success in our communities as far as being self-sufficient. My focus and work is boots on the ground and building with the community, building the relationships. Political education is key, so establishing that and organizing our community around building unity and success for our brothers and sisters within our communities.
Okay. I see the elephant opening the line up. Hold up. Jumbo, that's you right there?
Yes, sir. Jumbo.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. So go ahead. My partner, sorry. Go ahead. What you were saying?
Just again, explaining the initiatives of the Autonomous Infrastructure Mission. If the elder is on the line, I'll turn the floor over to him.
Okay.
My name is Joker Shima Jinsai. I'm the founder of the Autonomous Infrastructure Mission. The aim is primarily the blueprint to establish a functional autonomous infrastructure for New African communities across this country. It is a direct response to the concrete conditions that we endure in this nation. Currently, the aim is focused on establishing a foundation for us to be able to feed, house, clothe, educate, and defend ourselves. A condition that we currently find ourselves without. For any nation or any people to be functionally free, you have to have the capacity to feed yourself. This we developed the Sustainable Agricultural Commune. The SAC is designed to transform the vacant lots, backyards, aimless tracts of land in our community and the food, locally sourced, locally sustained by the brothers and sisters that live in our communities. One of the foundational principles of the aim is we are our own liberators. Our capacity to be free is in our own hands. It's not determined by any external force. The contradictions that exist in our community, be they underdevelopment, lack of education, underemployment, lack of resources. These contradictions are things that if we initiate our most valuable and powerful asset, we can overcome collectively, and that's our unity. Every initiative of the AIM, no matter if you're talking about New African Math and Science Center initiative or Closed Circuit Economic Initiative, every single initiative of the AIM is predicated upon our unity and social cooperation for it to function. This is intentional. This is purposeful. As a people, we have been orientated and developed in a culture which is alien to our true nature. We have been orientated and developed in capitalist, white supremacist, fascist America. It is a nation which has orientated our people to compete instead of cooperate, to hate themselves as opposed to love one another. to look upon your brother and your sister as your enemy, as opposed to your family. This is a fundamental contradiction, as basic historical materialism proves and demonstrates unequivocally. Where we are united, we are strong. Where we are divided, we are weak. In every instance where we have engaged fully in the processes of this nation, it has weakened our people to the point of absolute despotism. Currently, we have states in this nation which criminalize our historical experience. They have reduced our very history to some theory they call critical race theory, as though our historical experience is theoretical. They have created a school to poverty to prison pipeline, which has built a $246 billion a year industry on hunting, capturing, trying, convicting, and imprisoning our brothers and sisters. There is no alternative, no path to clear victory, no path to even a hope for genuine strength and power in this nation than for us to come together and build our own infrastructure. If you are dependent upon a culture and society that hates you, that has organized and structured its every institution around your social containment and extirpation, it is irrational to continue to cooperate, to continue to participate, to continue to empower such a system. Yet, we find ourselves almost inextricably trapped in this vicious cycle where we hope for change. We pray for change. We vote for change. We do everything but change in our community. Change is not to be, there is no path of liberation paved by your oppressor. There is no one coming to save you. There is no outside force coming to rescue our people. Nobody's going to come into our communities and solve these contradictions. We are our own liberators. The AIM is a functional blueprint to establish the basic infrastructure where we can feed ourselves through sustainable agricultural commune, where we can educate ourselves through the New African Math and Science Center Initiative, where we can orientate and train our youth for their true purpose, which is protecting and defending our community and being meaningful contributors to its development through the Youth Community Action Program, where we can respond to natural disasters and instances of national emergency through the Emergency Response Network, where we can protect and defend our communities through the Secure Communities Mandate, where we can establish spaces in our communities where our men, women, and children can go about the daily processes of social life without fear of injury or death through the Community Safe Zone Initiative, where we can begin to own and operate the businesses in our community and employ those in our community who don't have a job through closed-circuit economic initiative. All of these are designed to work in interconnection to produce a single autonomous infrastructure that can be networked with communities on the local, state, and national level to produce a national infrastructure which is autonomous, wholly independent to this system, diametrically opposed to its processes. And in so doing, we will create genuine freedom, true power, something that has so long eluded the foundation for genuine transfer culture. Now, for you brothers and sisters who are listening right now who don't know what transfer culture is, it's just what it says it is. Is moving from one way of life, which actually serves the interest of our enemy and our historic oppressor, to a more life-sustaining, productive, and viable way of life. One which sees us actually transforming into the nation within the nation that we already are. We utilize the term New African and people hear that word, and they automatically conjure ideas in their mind which have very little to do with the actual meaning of the word. The term New African is what we are. It is a rational response to our true and genuine national identity. When we were brought to the shores of North America from the shores of Africa, we were independent nations, sovereign people with our own languages, our own economic systems, our own spiritual systems, political systems, our own identity and culture. We were placed on plantations. But at no point in time do we ever relinquish that sovereignty simply because they clapped us in chains and dropped us off on somebody's land and said, hey, either work or die. Didn't mean that we gave up being independent people. Now, through that process, you had brothers and sisters from nations across Africa, whether it be Igbo, Minamatopin, Wose, Dogon, merge under conditions of oppression on those plantations and spread across this nation. We truly are genuine representations of all that Africa is. When you hear us use the word New African, we mean that we are a new African people, which embodies the totality of what it is to be African. Across the diaspora, we don't view the borders placed upon us by our national oppressor as legitimate. So when I look at my brothers and sisters in Haiti, that's my new African brother and sister. When I look at my brother and sister in Brazil, that's my new African brother and sister. When I look at my brother and sister in Mississippi, that's my new African brother and sister. When I look at my brothers and sisters in Michigan, those are my brothers and sisters. I said that to say this. The Autonomous Infrastructure Mission is a functional blueprint for us to move that national identity from a simple articulation to a social practice. Oftentimes, we talk too much. Our people are prone to pointing out what's wrong, but very rarely do we actually translate that contradiction into the energy necessary to change it, i.e. a solution. I'm a New African Revolutionary Guerrilla. We are solution oriented. We don't simply analyze a contradiction or body of facts and assert what's wrong. Anybody can do that. I don't need to do that. We know what's wrong. What we need is a solution. One of the primary contradictions is we are consistently seeking to implement solutions that either we know won't work because historical materialism proves it don't work, or are irrational. Prime example, engaging in the underground economy by selling drugs. That's an irrational response to poverty. You poisoning your own people in doing so, by enriching the very opposition, the very enemy responsible for your national oppression. Eventually, you're going to be captured by that same enemy. They're going to execute drug forfeiture law, and all that you gain going to be there. In so doing, you're going to destroy 2,000 to 20,000 lives just in the time that you've been selling that poison. You've actually reduced the amount of money being introduced in our community because you've pulled it out through drug sales. Now, what if we organize our collective working responsibility to purchase a grocery store? Now, everybody in our community contributes what they can. 50 cents, a quarter, a dollar over the course of 51 people. This will produce a fund necessary, sufficient enough to both purchase that grocery store and stock that grocery store with everything we would normally purchase in that community from any other grocery store we've been going to. Why is this relevant? In the book Black Economics by Henry Clark, he utilized statistical data from several different agencies that track purchasing and buying habits by demographic. He found that a dollar will circulate in the Jewish community for 29 days. A dollar would circulate in the Italian community for 17 days. A dollar would circulate in the Puerto Rican and Mexican communities for an average of 7 days. But a dollar would circulate in the black community for 7 seconds. That means 7 seconds after you spend your money at a cash register in our communities, that dollar is going to enrich another community. Why? Because we do not own the businesses in our communities. They're owned by someone else, be it the Arab brother or sister, the Korean, the whatever they are. But they're not our people. They are not that community. What an initiative like the Closed Circuit Economic Initiative seeks to do is pool our resources so we can buy those primary, what they call staple businesses. You got to eat. In order to eat, you got to buy your food. Where do you buy your food? Grocery store. But if we own that grocery store and everything in it, and the only people we employed in that grocery store is brothers and sisters from that community who don't have a job, we kill two birds with one stone. We circulate that dollar back into our own communities. We decrease the employment rate. And in the next, we keep that funding cycle going. In the next 6 months, we buy a bakery. That grocery store is going to purchase all its base goods exclusively from that bakery. That bakery only employs brothers and sisters from our community who don't have a job. Again, the employment rate drops. That six-month funding cycle continues, and that sympathetic business is a cannery. Well, we actually take in foodstuffs that are produced by our sustainable agriculture communes and can them. Our grocery store, in turn, will buy its canned goods exclusively from that cannery. So when you go into that grocery store and you spend your dollar, you buy your bread, your canned goods, your fresh produce, and that money is flowing back to your community, being operated by brothers and sisters from your community, and amplifying the impact and power of your wealth. If you continue this process to its logical conclusion, eventually you will own every business in your community. And every person that's working in those businesses will be people in your community who don't have a job, and suddenly you will have 100% employment. That's power. That's independence. If we were to establish the functional blueprint for a youth community action program, we could train and educate our brothers and sisters in a true history. One of the primary principles of George Jackson University is if you know your history, if you know your true self, you are less likely to disrespect yourself. If you know your true history, you're less likely to want to hurt or harm one of your brothers and sisters because you know that's your brother and sister. With that knowledge also translates into the second phase of the Youth Community Action Program, which is a collectively owned business by the youth that participate in. That will create a new stream of revenue for each household that young man or woman comes from. It will teach them collective ownership, collective work and responsibility, and it will produce yet another business that's owned by, operated by that community. When we speak of sustainable agricultural commune, we're talking about transforming every piece of land, every space, into a food-bearing space. One of the primary contradictions that we find ourselves with in our community is we don't have access to healthy food at a good price. They don't have it in our communities by and large. Well, if that's the reason, if that's the contradiction, the solution is clear. We take those empty, degraded spaces that are doing nothing in our community, and we transform them into food. We go out into our communities and assess what produce does that community consume. What does it like to eat? We measure that with what grows in our zone. Once again, we leverage our collective work and responsibility by establishing grow boxes throughout that community, transforming those vacant lots. We plant and harvest our own organic produce produced by our own hands. Those who participate in the SAC, no matter if it's through labor or through a direct contribution, no matter how minuscule, will have 100% access to the produce that's produced. Those brothers and sisters who don't, but they live in that community, will get access to purchasing their produce at a discounted rate. Whatever surplus we have, we sell that to local stores to continue the SAC in that community and even extend a dividend to those members of the SAC in that community, providing yet another revenue stream for families. The money that you would normally go to the grocery store and spend on your produce, you keep that money in your pocket while you're still putting food on your table. That is revolutionary. That is liberation. When you can feed yourself, when you can transform the spaces that you walk through on a day-to-day basis into a food basket, you one step closer to freedom. What the Thomas Infrastructure Mission seeks to do is just that, free our people, establish a functional blueprint whereby we can be free. Now, historical materialism has taught us in those instances where we seek genuine self-determination and genuine self-sufficiency, they're attacked. They're not allowed to function in peace. We learned that during the counterintelligence program to ensure that these institutions are defended. We must have a functional blueprint whereby we can exercise the fundamental human right of self-defense. That is the secure community's mandate. One of the primary aspects of the secure community's mandate is you knowing the neighbors you have on all four sides of you. In front of you, behind you, and on either side. Just go across the street, knock on your door, and introduce yourself to your neighbor. That small act is revolutionary. When we was growing up in the 60s and 70s, this was the norm. We knew everybody in our community. We would eat at our neighbor's home. We would share food. My mama, she grew collard greens, peppers, tomatoes. And you had Miss Beasley next door. She grew cabbage, celery, chickpeas. And they were traded. And so her produce became our produce, and our produce became her produce. And we did this up and down the street for blocks and blocks. You had fruit trees growing in people's backyards. I could come and pick apricots and plums anytime I wanted to. I was never hungry. We didn't have a lot of money. We was always had full bellies. We moved away from that as a people. And in so doing, weakened ourselves. What the SAC seeks to do is re-empower our capacity to feed ourselves. In so doing, transforming our communities. Understand something. There is a psychological impact which comes from walking down the street and seeing beauty. It imbues you with a sense of responsibility. When that beauty is self-produced by your own hands, now you also have a self-interest to protect and defend it. The simple act of knowing one another breaks down barriers easily, create misunderstandings. That's eliminated. Because I know that brother and sister. Those brothers and sisters in our community who are well-versed in martial arts, who are well-versed in marksmanship, archery, purser, which is a knife fighting technique and a knife defense technique. These brothers and sisters we tap as instructors for the secure community's mandate to teach our brothers and sisters who don't know how to defend themselves to defend themselves. Conscious awareness to ensure that our children, our women, and our elders are safe at all times is a hallmark of the Secure Communities Mandate. One of the initiatives that is interconnected to the AIM is called the SADA Alert Network. It is an initiative that's designed to ensure that our women and children are found, but more importantly, to prevent their abduction, abuse, or murder. The Secure Communities Mandate and the SADA Alert Network work hand in hand. If you have that functional awareness and the applicable training to execute genuine self-defense against any threat, it's going to be difficult to impossible for somebody to come in our communities and kidnap one of our babies, or come in our communities and rape one of our sisters, or come in our communities and engage in some form of police brutality. It should never be easy to kill us. It should never be easy to hurt us. It should never be easy to abduct us. That should be something that's damn near impossible. But a disorganized community is easy prey. A community that has no SADA alert network, that has no secure community mandate, that has no community safe zone initiative, where we have identified sites like playgrounds, laundromats, grocery stores as safe zones, and we have brothers and sisters who volunteer to protect those sites, they are infinitely more secure. We as a people are infinitely more secure. Organization in and of itself transforms social attitudes. Something George Jackson stated that is undeniably true is revolution is a war for the minds of the masses. But he went on to state those minds are influenced by the people's social attitudes. Your social attitude will determine whether or not you're even receptive to certain ideas and concepts. By transforming the nature and structure of our communities through the Autonomous Infrastructure Mission, you transform the social attitudes of our people themselves. Think about this. Think about your own life. And those instances and times when you built something of substance with your own hands, whether it was an education that you built for yourself, whether it was a car you built, whether it was a home you built with your own hands, you value it more. Why? You built that. That is in and of itself a transformational process. What the Autonomous Infrastructure Mission seeks to do is introduce the capacity for our people to build self-sufficiency and self-determination. I'm going to take this time and let Sister B expound on some of the practical applications of cultivating something like a sustainable agricultural commune. Sister B, go ahead.
Yeah, I hear you, Conrad.
One of the things that I think each and every one of us...
Sister line is open. I don't know why she ain't here. Sister line is open, though.
Don't trip. One of the things that I think each and every one of us who are currently listening, maybe asking themselves is, how can I start an AIM? Okay, it's something that anybody can do if you're serious. And the reason I say that is it's not going to be easy. Nothing of value, nothing worth having, is easy to do, especially in a society that's racist and fascist like the United States of America. But it can be done. The first thing you have to do is find brothers and sisters who think the same way you think, who want to change their community. Those brothers and sisters you kick it with every day, nine times out of ten, if you're thinking along the lines of self-determination and self-sufficiency, your circle is thinking the same way because birds with a feather flock together. What you have to do is sit down and have a competent conversation about the nature and structure of the blueprints that exist within the AIM and your capacity to implement those blueprints. You will have to measure what you need in terms of manpower and resources. The next thing that you will have to do is organize your structure. Create a local coordinating committee based on you and your friends. Contact one of the state coordinators for the Autonomous Infrastructure Mission or the national coordinator, Adam Bashir. They'll give you a full package for establishing every initiative and some pointers on how to go about doing so. The reason why the AIM is structured, predicated upon our own effort, our own work, our own hands, is it has to be based on indigenous leadership. Indigenous leadership is leadership that comes from your community. No one knows your community like you. No one knows the contradictions. No one knows what's needed most in your community like you do. Not only that, but the people in your community know you. With that knowledge comes trust. You are more effective in organizing and AIM than some outsider coming into your community, seeking to dictate or impose on your community what they should or shouldn't do. That's one of the reasons so many of these community development initiatives fail, because people come outside of your community and try to impose an ideal on you, as opposed to learning from your community what's needed. The initiatives of the Autonomous Infrastructure Mission are designed to be flexible, to be implementable in any set of social circumstances, like water being poured into a container. It takes the shape of whatever that container is. If the primary contradiction in your community is gang violence, probably the number one initiative that you want to focus on is Youth Community Action Program. Secure Communities Mandate, Community Safe Zone Initiative, that should be your focus. If the primary contradiction in your community is hunger, you need to be developing an SAC first. Prioritize the initiatives. The initiatives are designed to work in interconnection. The reason why the symbol for the Autonomous Infrastructure Mission in every way, shape, or form and fashion that you see it is a pyramid is because that's exactly what we're doing. We're building our 21st century pyramids. Each initiative of the AIM is built atop another. They're built in interconnection. Ultimately, to form a structure which will last so long as there are people to build it. As these institutions actually serve the interests of the people in your community, they're going to participate. People do what's in their interest. If you have a closed-circuit economic initiative, organizing and developing your community that's providing both jobs, dividend checks, and a collectively owned business, people are going to support that. Because it's in their interest to support that. If you have organized a viable SAC in your community that's putting food on folks' tables, they're going to support that. Because that's money they ain't got to spend on their pocket, out their pocket to go to the grocery store to get something that they're getting for free, and all they got to do is contribute some of their collective work. A dollar, 50 cents. Just some form of social cooperation. I'm often quietly amazed that nature has provided us some of the best examples of how to organize, yet we so rarely take advantage of those examples. When I was in solitary confinement and I first developed the concept of the AIM, a lot of people don't know this, but I developed it after watching the documentary on ants. It's a documentary they showed on PBS way back in 2004. And the documentary was on how such a small creature became one of the most successful organisms on the planet. You can find them on every continent. And they always are successful. The reason why is they cooperate with one another. The small animal, no matter what species of it is capable of defending itself against species thousands, if not tens of thousands times larger than them. They capable of feeding millions of miles by just working together. Their structures, their anthills, can be destroyed and rebuilt within 24 to 48 hours simply because they work together. And I thought to myself, why is it our people are not taking the hint? We have been orientated not to work together. We have been cultivated not to build together. The fact that we have a historical record which demonstrates this culture has intentionally orientated and deceived our people into working against one another, to hating themselves, should be all the motivation we need to do the opposite. One of the aspects of dialectical materialism is merely concrete analysis of concrete conditions, but it is a science. It's the science of change. One of its primary principles is if you have a negative social force, the only way to transform that negative social force is with its opposite. You can see this same scientific principle in nature. If I have a roaring fire and it's destroying acres of land, and then it rains, the water from the rain negates that fire and puts it out. It is transformed by its opposite. If our current contradiction is disunity, then the solution would be more unity.
And when we say that, we're not dismissing the human factor, right? We know the animals got the, you know, they don't have human issues. We have a diverse human relationship in our community. We completely understand that, so we're not dismissing that. But the tools of dialectical materialism will allow to correct this contradiction. Just like, say, when we begin to implement AIM, we bring a council together that would deal with the various contradictions that exist in our community, maybe family, neighbors, whatever, right, that give the community a platform to air certain grievances, maybe within the family, maybe within the community. So we're not dismissing that factor, right? But we use ants, termites, and bees, understand me, as an illustration on how we come together, how we can build. That's not saying that we're not going to have the problems we're going to have. We're going to have those problems. That's right. Part of the struggle. That's part of the process. But if you look at how effective they are, maybe bees, termites, or ants, when they come together and work. When they come together and work, now all we have to do is add the human factor. We're going to have contradictions. We know that. That's part of it. Without contradictions, we can't grow. Because if you have a contradiction between two neighbors and you correct that contradiction, now you have one neighbor coming together as one. Correcting contradictions only facilitate growth and development towards building names.
And this is a vital, vital point. Because the contradictions that we face will not be primarily external. Our primary contradictions will be internal. The first contradiction that you're going to face is finding brothers and sisters like mine to work with you to build names. That's going to be the first contradiction you're going to face. The primary contradiction every single established AIM, no matter where it's organized, be it in San Diego, California, or Grand Rapids, Michigan, is finding boots on the ground to implement these ideas in social practice. That's the primary contradiction. Our brothers and sisters in the PPI down there in Columbus, Georgia, that's the primary contradiction, the human factor. But what's revolution? What we mean by the PPI is the People's Party for Independence. We have an embassy established in Columbus, Georgia, where our illustrious brother Bomani, who's currently the host of the show, has organized a space in which our people can actually begin to organize toward independence and self-determination. Momani, in conjunction with many other comrades, have established that embassy for that purpose. But getting back to my primary point, the human factor is the primary contradiction, but it's also the primary solution. The primary solution to establishing the aim is people working together. Unity. I cannot stress this enough. Our unity is the single most powerful weapon that we have at our disposal. Yet it's the one we use the least. That has to change. It doesn't change by simply creating an analysis of a contradiction. It doesn't change by simply pointing to the problem. It changes by social practice. That's why we utilize the term functional unity. Coming together ain't enough. We have to be able to come together and work together, come together and do something. The aim is simply a blueprint by which we can do just that. One needs only commit to the process of building. That process begins with analyzing the contradictions that exist in your community, prioritizing those initiatives to solve those contradictions, organizing the appropriate personnel to begin their implementation, and carrying it forward to its ultimate and logical conclusion. Functional autonomous infrastructure. Does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, I got a question, right? Now, if a person who hasn't never been exposed to the policy of the Black Liberation Movement, New African Independent Movement, right, is who coming in blind and oblivious to everything you're talking about,
what
will be the approach to get the individual to actually comprehend some of the things you're talking about? What would be the first approach, you know what I'm saying, to get their attention in regards to them, especially they want to do better, but they don't know what to do? What would be the approach to them?
The first approach would be to highlight the ills of the community. What aspects of that community make that community dysfunctional? What aspects of that community does that individual seek to change? Is it a violence-ridden community? Is it a poverty-stricken community? Is it a community that has no influence or political power? Is it a community whose youth have just run wild? What's the primary contradiction? Step one. The second step is finding brothers and sisters who think the same way they think and want to change it. You don't got to be no revolutionary to engage in a revolutionary act. That's how revolutionaries are made. People ain't born revolutionary. Revolutionaries are made by social conditions. The desire to change social conditions. That is what transforms our people from merely object man, an object in history, to subject man, the subject of history, i.e. the revolutionary. This is how the revolutionary is made. He's made through the crucible of social practice. He's taking these ideas and seeking to implement them as solutions to what's facing you when you open your door. Open your door. Just look out at your community. See what you see. You know what's wrong. Now comes the vital question. It's the crux of the matter. What you willing to do about it? We can't in one breath state that we live in a racist, fascist society. We can't say that our communities are in disrepair, are disorganized, but in the next breath don't want to do nothing about it. That's a contradiction. It's an inescapable contradiction. If you're making that strategic analysis, if something is wrong in your community and you want to change it, now the next step is how. The aim provides you a blueprint with how.
One thing, hey, Bomani, what part of the answer is what you're doing right now. We as AIM, the GJU, the New African Independence Movement, must use these platforms of social media to educate the people. Through these radio programs, we're able to reach a whole lot of people. Through social media, we're able to reach a lot of people. We have to hold class. We have to teach people on how to implement AIM and other programs. We have to teach them on what to do. That's doable. Understand me? So I'm saying a lot of people just waiting for instructions. We have to find an effective way of getting those instructions to them and assist them in that process. If you are a
brother or sister in the struggle, across the board we have a three-tier monster: educate, organize, mobilize. That's what you do. You educate the people by first learning from the people. We don't talk at the people or talk down to the people. We learn from the people. And we take their historical experience and we translate it through the prism of dialectical materialism into a solution. Then you organize the people to implement that solution. Then you mobilize the people to carry it out. This can be done by anyone serious about change. You know your community. Those things you don't know can be known through research. You have a saying that the unknowable can be known. In that knowledge comes the capacity to do something about it. I can't stress enough the importance of educating yourself on how a contradiction came into being, meaning its origin, its ideology, how it was born and grew into what you see today. Oftentimes, through just that simple analysis of how did this contradiction come into being, we can find seeds for the proper implementation of a solution.
True indeed. You know, and like you said earlier, we are our own liberators, and once we recognize that we had a solution to our own social ills and willing to work toward them, then we'll understand exactly what's going on. Then we'll be able to build the infrastructures and build the collectives and build the cadre, build the institution, the program that can fulfill the people's needs and actually liberate the people's minds as well as their zones and their areas, right? So, you know, I'm paying attention to exactly what you're saying. You know, like, as you look at it, you know, this blueprint is a universal blueprint. It's not something that just happened overnight. It's not something, you know, saying that you came up within yourself with just by looking at the signs of looking at the signs of the structure of the ants and how they function. Everybody has a particular role and their functionality, and they're dedicated workers to work day and night, you know what I'm saying? The ants are like the oppressor. They work day and night. They never give up till they finish, right? And we might have that same determination and that same dedication in regard to what we're doing because we're behind time. And like Elder Adu said, you know, every opportunity we have, we must use for an opportunity for strategic matter to convey strategic information for the people so we can be the solutionaries in which people claim ourselves to be as social science in the area, no matter what kind of structure or organization collect you're a part of, you know. Every act is a revolution act, and every act is geared to a change. You know, so everything makes sense in regard to what you're saying. And it's more about just doing the work. For instance, you go into the community, like you said, you go into the community that deal with the gang members, you know. You got to implement an aspect they're going to attack the minds of the youth so you can try to educate them. You go into the community that is a food shortage, you know what I'm saying, or people are hungry. You implement an aspect of introducing agriculture and farming, you know what I'm saying, land-based, so the people will be able to understand the power of food and how food can actually change their mind state, whether it change the condition of society. You know, actually get them more power and control. Because who control your food, control your world, your reality, you know. So, you know, everything you're saying makes sense, you know, to a person to really see it. You ain't got to be the most intelligent individual in the world. You ain't got to be no scholar, you know. We all face common issues, food. We all face common issues of miseducation, poverty, food, clothing, shelter, basic needs that are life. So just because a person only think about attaining their basic needs and want to do something about it, then you'll naturally be having a revolutionary mind because you're making a change in your condition, change in your life already without all the philosophy, without the affiliation, you know, it's uncommon. Mm-hmm. So the autonomy infrastructure mission is something that is feasible in any environment and accessible for anybody regardless of the education level. They choose to feed and clothe themselves and shelter themselves, you know. So that's what it's all about, having something sustainable.
Exactly. That's the key word right there, sustainability. And understand, these ideas are the product of countless comrades. I pulled these ideas from all the orientation and indoctrination I had over the course of my 63 years of living. All right?
True indeed.
You got to understand, some of these initiatives are 10, 20, 25 years old, and they've been constantly and consistently refined as I've come into contact with new information and new ideas from new comrades. If you go back to some of George's most basic work when he speaks as a black commune, he's talking about the aim. When you talk about anonymous infrastructure, we're talking about the aim. What we're talking about doing is what we should have been doing for the last 100-plus years. But you also have to understand it is a counter-social force also occurring. It's one that we consistently have to be aware of. It's the reason why every initiative of the AIM is predicated upon us working together. That's not by chance or happenstance. It's by design. That's intentional. We did that purposely. We purposely did that. And the reason why we did that, because we have been orientated not to work together.
Yes, sir.
We've been fed a lie. We've been fed the lie of I and me. Don't no such thing exist. Human beings as a species are social creatures. What that means is our existence is dependent upon social cooperation in one shape, form, or another. The current structure of society is one in which a large pool of oppressed people serve the interests of a minute population of elites. That's the nature and structure of the current modes of production and distribution and appropriation that exist on the U.S. capitalism, / imperialism, / fascism, / white supremacy. What the AIM seeks to do is introduce its opposite. The opposite of that is genuine freedom, unity, social cooperation, empowerment, self-sufficiency, self-determination. I want you to think of the oppressive condition which you endure on a day-to-day basis, whether or not it's wage slavery or grinding in the hood, whatever it is. I want you to think of it as components in a machine. That machine is producing energy for a small elite of individuals that we call the capitalist class, or those who own the means of production. That's the rich folks that make all the laws that govern your social life. That's them rich folks that own all the businesses that you work at. The people that you go buy all your stuff from. That stuff that they got you believing will make you a happy person. Stuff can't make you happy. It don't possess that power. That's one of the primary pillars of predatory modern capitalism. It's the idea of social alienation. Social alienation is when you alienate you from other people and you identify with things. It is a psychosocial construct designed to control you. What the AIM does is the opposite. It's showing you the value of you in connection to your brothers and sisters. Your genuine power. The lie you've been fed is the lie of I and me. There ain't no I and me. It's only us and we. Cooperation has served the interest of our people and ensured our survival where competition has served to kill us. It served to orchestrate some of the most heinous atrocities that our people have ever suffered, some that we're currently enduring even now. What the Thomas Infrastructure Mission seeks to do is imbue our people with the power to resist. To not merely resist today, to not be reactive to a specific spurt of oppressive expression, be it some act of police brutality or some act of economic terrorism by the state. No, it is a form of sustainable resistance as a lifestyle. resistance as a nature and structure of our very communities. The aim is resistance. It is functional resistance, empowering resistance. It is the development, the structuring of self-determination and self-sufficiency in a society where we have none. In a historical relationship where we have historically been the oppressed and continue to be to this day. Understand something. No one's coming to save us. No one's going to intervene. No one's going to free you. You got to free you. You got to save you. We got to save us. The Thomas Infrastructure Mission is the weapon. It is the tool. It is the model. It is the blueprint to do just that. All we have to do is implement it. That is within our power. This is why we consistently say we are our own liberators. The hands that you're currently looking at right now, while you're hearing my voice, is the hands that can transform the nature and structure of your life and the lives of your children for generations to come. We can do that.
True indeed. True indeed. You know, you mentioned some very important things, a lot of things, especially in regard to the cooperation. Now, for instance, you could have 30 people coming together, right? They can come together and party and bullshit. But you could have five people coming together that cooperate with each other, that have a certain political goal, a certain goal and objective, and after establish an institution, establish a building, establish a program that stands for people's needs. That's the aspect that we lacking a lot of things we do, unity. And like you said, we look at the pyramid and atomic infrastructure representing unification. Every aspect is a particular block, and every block every block can represent a particular resource or a particular human being, which is a human resource that can actually build a particular structure, right? And so when you look at things, think about things, you know what I'm saying? We are our own liberators. We're the ones who got the solution to all of those people, social ills. Even so we choose through our own very own mind, through our ways and actions. And also, if an individual wants to obtain the blueprint of AIM, how would they go about doing so? For the people who are listening right now and people who will be listening in the future.
All you have to do is contact National Coordinator Adam Bashir at abashir276@gmail.com or contact State Coordinator Bima Ashi or Yamaya Allah at their email address, and you'll get a full AIM local coordinator packet and application. And you can build
Does AIM have a website or something online that people can see? You know, they can look over?
AutonomousInfrastructureMission.com.
Okay. I appreciate that. You know, if anyone have any question, comment, or statement, please press 1 or open your line. I just want to get ask a question. Please press 1. If there are any question, comment, or statements. You know, as I listen to all this, you know, and observe it in my own mind, also look at it from my own personal experience and the work that I'm currently doing, right?
Yes.
Everything makes sense, you know, in regard to the aspect of being autonomous, the aspect of being liberated, the aspect of being free. You know, all of it makes sense, especially if you want to change the conditions, especially if you want to get that boot off your neck or that boot off your ass. You know, you want to, everything makes sense. You know, it's a choice that we all have, right? You know, we complain about a lot of different things in our communities, a lot of things in our neighborhood, and even our household, we complain about these things. But what are you doing to change the conditions? What are you doing to change, to resolve these problems? What are you doing to resolve these contradictions? You know, it's all with the work. You know, it's all with the work. You know, say with any blueprint, they're just a model. It's the work behind the blueprint that give you that full manifestation, what you're seeing on that blueprint, which is basically the science of the art of it, the architecture of it, you know, or however designed. But once you implement it, then it becomes a living reality. It becomes a living reality in your life, you know. The tangible that you can taste, smell, and smell, and it becomes another part of reality. A lot of exactly. times we think about it in regards to our mind, we think about things, but it's not a reality-based imagination until it becomes something that, that can benefit you on a physical plane, you know, on the physical plane of existence without the spookism, right? You know, so.
That's the practice. That is the one criterion of truth.
What did you say, comrade?
Social practice is the one criterion of truth.
No doubt, no doubt, no doubt, man, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt. You know, in regard to this aim, right, you know, what actually the end goal, aim? What is the end goal? Does it have an end goal or is it just a continual process, an ever-involved process of continual change, or does it have a particular end goal?
When we speak of sustainability in relation to the aim, we are speaking of ultimately nation building. Did. There was a time when, as an organized political movement, our focus was five states. But the practical reality is our people are spread across 50. Our people are spread across an entire diaspora, global. Where we have to focus on organizing is where our people's feet are. Organize where your feet is. If we organize a network of autonomous infrastructures across this nation, we will have a de facto nation within a nation. Understand this. The aim is a blueprint for disconnecting from the processes of this oppressive relationship. That's what it is.
And if you read Blood in My Eyes, Comrade George speaks on that. He speaks specifically on that in terms of developing these infrastructures. AIM is a blueprint for our future generation to strike for liberation. We're not going to win liberation in our time. That is a concrete reality. All we can do is build the foundation. AIM is a blueprint towards building that foundation, and each generation will do their part in building that foundation. 100 years from now, we don't know what the new African independence movement is going to look like. We don't know what the Republican New Africa is going to look like 100 years from now. Those brothers and sisters, 20, 30, 50 years from now, they will make their determination based on the concrete conditions. What we have to do is build the foundation for them to build.
As I mentioned earlier, the logo for the Thomas Infrastructure Mission is a pyramid. When you build in any structure that you hope to stand for any length of time, the very first thing that you're going to have to focus on is what? Its foundation. What it's built upon. Revolutionaries can't fight if they can't eat. Revolutionaries can't organize if they don't have an educational base. Revolutionaries cannot create a new nation if there are no people from which that nation is derived. A nation is defined by its cultural identity, its ideology, its historical experience. If we are seeking to develop a revolutionary culture, then our social practice must be revolutionary by definition. The Autonomous Infrastructure Mission seeks to establish the foundation for genuine gold culture. Before you can get the gold culture, you have to cultivate transfer culture. Transfer culture is moving from one way of life to another way of life. In this instance, moving away from an oppressed nation within a nation representing the interest of the oppressor state, American capitalism, imperialism, and fascism, to an independent nation, functioning toward its interest, developing its own self-sufficiency and self-determination, and doing so in such a fashion that our opposition won't know what we're doing until it's too late. One of the reasons why, for years, and the Thomas Infrastructure Mission is new. This is a concept that we cultivated over 20 years ago. Its final iteration matured in 2009, but it's been in maturation for like 15, 20 years prior to that. For years, I intentionally sought to hide the AIM's true intent and purpose. And I did that predicated upon a healthy respect for the counterintelligence program. a healthy respect for the adversary that we face. But here's the thing. The practical analysis of the implementation of the aim is, if it's implemented correctly and sincerely by communities across this nation, there ain't nothing they can do about it. Not until it's too late. It'll be too late.
That part.
The reason why this is so vitally important, the alternative is a continuing trajectory on what we currently see when you look out your front door. Brothers and sisters murdering themselves in a thousand ways. Brothers and sisters actively participating in their own oppression. You got to understand something. The way the enemy is going to respond to a community that has been organized under the AIM, it's 100 times different than it's going to respond to your community in this current state, because it has to. It doesn't have a choice. Now you have secure community mandates. Now you have SACs. You ain't got to spend your money in their grocery stores. Now you have closed-circuit economic initiatives. You ain't got to spend your money in none of their stores because you own your own. Suddenly you're purchasing all the homes in your community. You have community safe zones. So when oppressive forces would seek to come into your community for whatever reason to engage in illegal acts, they will find a force of deterrence. The best way I can say this and be polite, our communities will be strong. You will find an infrastructure in our community where our brothers and sisters can come out of these concentration camps after being orientated and educated in George Jackson University and immediately fall directly into initiatives designed to empower them and ensure that they don't return to prison. We're talking about transforming the nature and structure of not only our communities, but by so doing, this entire society. The autonomous infrastructure mission, by its nature and structure, by its transformational purpose, will do just that. Transform the nature and structure of society that you live in. The choices that you have, the opportunities available to you. We're talking about improving social life by introducing a new way of life. When people hear that, a new way of life, oftentimes there's a degree of trepidation. The history of our people has been one of de facto reliance on familiar oppression rather than engaging in dangerous freedom. That's been the history of our people, unfortunately. What we do by the aim is transforming that thought process by creating a victorious revolutionary will through social practice of building your own self-sufficient, self-determined infrastructure. Some Fanon said, informs these ideas. He said the process of nation building, the process of revolution, is a liberating process. It changes the minds of the colonized and oppressed people who engage in these processes. It's true. When you begin to build and organize institutions in your community that serve your interests, that is a transformational psychological process. The way you think will change. How you interact with one another will change. The manner in which the social forces of oppression react to you will change. Ain't going to be coming in your community jumping on nobody because they know they might not leave. Dudes ain't going to be interested in standing on no street corner slanging no dope. Why? When I own the businesses in my community and I ain't got to look over my shoulder no more. I'm just as economically enriched by working together with my people than I am by poisoning. I guarantee you our people will choose working together with their people. Don't nobody want to hurt them, huh? That's a social factor that has been introduced to our people. That's not indigenous to us. That's something we adopted from the sixth system. It's part of the great lie. That competition is necessary for social life. It's not. That's a lie. Social cooperation is just as, if not more, effective. You've just been orientated against it. Because if you actually adopted it, you would be empowered as a people. And in an oppressive relationship, your oppressor can't see you in power. There is no path to empowerment and liberation laid by your oppressor. Get that out your head. Vote all you want. Pray all you want. Beg all you want. Plead all you want. Cooperate all you want. Your social conditions are not going to change. You still going to get a boot in your ass. Now, you might feel a little difference in a number of boots in your ass. They might go from 200 boots to 20. But you still got 20 boots up your ass. Don't nobody want no boots in their ass. We talking about with the Thomas M. Structure.
Yeah, nah, you don't. Life without a boot in your ass. Crazy.
To actually enjoying the basic processes of the relationships in your community without a boot in your ass. That's something everybody should be striving for. Understand something. The current nature and structure of our society is such that we are participating in our own oppression. That is irrational. The hallmark of rationality for any people is self-determination. Self-determination is predicated upon self-sufficiency. You can't be self-determined if you ain't self-sufficient. You can't provide for yourself. You're depending on somebody else to provide for you. The aim seeks to change that. We seek to seize our freedom and seize it by building our own infrastructure. We seek to disconnect from the processes of oppression by creating new processes. We seek to liberate ourselves from the oppressive relationship by building new relationships. This is something that we can do.
You know, and one of the most critical, the most critical obstacle in our past is our inability to accept any responsibility or accountability.
That part.
As long as we keep saying they did this, he did this, you did this and that, without accepting any responsibility, we're not going to make no move. What's going to compel us to move? If we're saying they doing everything, we have only empowered them.
That part.
Because we saying they're all almighty. They can do anything they want to. There's nothing for us to do. No. If you do something, you can stop them all day, economically, politically, socially, culturally. We have to assume responsibility. We already know that the government has neglected us. We already know that this government will give a damn about us. So what we do next? Take full responsibility like we're supposed to and accountability for the conditions of our community. It's that simple. But we can't even do that.
That part.
When you do it, you blame the victim. Yeah, you got damn right. How many times you get slapped in the face? I don't like getting slapped in the face. You don't like getting slapped in the face, so stop it. Block it. Move forward. Deal with it. Stop it. Shit, that ain't blaming the victim. I'm telling the victim to fight back.
Dumb. I think took the sister back on. She's trying to get in. A line is open. Go ahead, sister.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that the implementation of AIM is going to look different for each community, and that starts with the concrete analysis of the concrete conditions of your community. From there, whether you have a team of one or two people or three to five people, it's not about how many people you have on your team. It's about the quality of people you have on your team and having like-minded brothers and sisters to implement each initiative. From there, it's all about community building, getting out in the neighborhoods, and building to win. We are our own liberators, and it takes the cooperation of everyone and everyone who's on this call we need you and your work. And for further information, please do visit the autonomousinfrastructuremission.com. You will find our application on there that will directly put you in the inbox of a coordinator to receive more information.
That's right. So y'all go down there and hit that up.
Yes, sir. I have a question, right? You know, for an individual that doesn't have access to the Atomic Infrastructure Mission or anything that gives them a particular blueprint, what would be one some of the places they can start at to gain blueprints, to gain solutions if they don't have access to all the other information? What would be some of the first places they can look at?
Go to ThomasInfrastructureMission.com. If you got a phone, if you got a cell phone, you got access to every single blueprint within that. You got access to support to implement every blueprint within the AIM. Go to ThomasInfrastructureMission.com. As our comrade sister stated, there's links embedded within the website that will provide you with all the information you need, all the access you need to implement an AIM in your community. We here to not merely state unity, but to practice it. So if you got a cell phone, you can implement AIM. Can I ask you a question, comrade?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It did, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, because a lot of times, you know, people have access to the internet, but they don't know what to look for, or they don't know what they're looking at because there's so much propagation out there that deceives them or steers their minds to another level that is not conducive or productive to them by obtaining some information on the internet, right? But people got to know what to digest and how to digest it and what's real and not real, you know. And sometimes the information that you gather, you got to be able to apply it to your condition. You got to practice. You got to test it, so to speak, like a scientist. You got to test the information, see if it applies to you. If it doesn't apply to you, you got to move around. You know, move around and do some more experiments, gather more information, move around, perform more tests, and put that theory into practice. What you talk, put that theory into practice, and see if it turns out to work for you. You know, sometimes it takes 10, 15, 20 years of working on a solution, working on a philosophy, a plan in regards to the protracted struggle to make some things are feasible or gain something of success. You know, people just got to stay down what they're doing. You know, now look at that. I'm saying it because I'm speaking from experience in regards to what we've been doing. Certain things for over a decade, you know, and talking about certain things for a decade, some things came into existence by our own work, our own cooperation with each other, and also the aspect of everybody recognizing their particular talents and using their talents in certain areas and played a role in the particular cadre of development to make things really happen, right? You know,
that point.
And one of the most important things I don't see is that, like, we gotta understand how to select cadre. You just can't put anybody in a position just because they're there, or just because you had the body to do so. You know, if they don't have the skill set, the mindset, or the know-how, they're not gonna be successful in regard to their particular endeavors. So we're not gonna be successful in where we're trying to build at that particular time, or even into the future. You know, so it's all about the educational aspect as well in regard to doing certain things, or the know-how, or the willingness, so to speak. Because sometimes people cannot know certain things, but they're willing to learn, and actually way better than the person that been learning for 20, 30 years, you know, just because they had that willingness.
And one of the best examples of cadre selection and the process of orientation and indoctrination that comrade is speaking of is brothers and sisters who are currently AIM coordinators right now, like our sister B. Prime example. She's been in the struggle for decades. But through orientation and indoctrination, educational development, PE, political education, the sister has evolved to the point of being one of the most dynamic organizers in this country. All around the AIM. This is something that each and every one of us is capable of doing. All we have to do is access the information. When I'm telling you the information is available for you, not merely the information. There's support available for you. This is something we're trying to implement on a national scale. It don't matter where you are in this country, what state you're in, You want to organize an AIM? Get at me. We're going to help
you. That is the work.
That is the primary focus. You serious about change? If you serious about revolution, I don't care who you are. Don't care what organization you represent. If you serious, you really about this? Organize AIM in your community. That should be the primary motive for it. That should be the primary focus of your organizing efforts. Building an autonomous infrastructure. This is not about subordinating your organization to nobody else. This is about the liberation of our people. Point blank, plain and simple. It's about the liberation of our people.
Yes, sir.
That's a process. That's something. That's not something that's going to happen overnight. That's not something that's going to fall out of the sky. That's not something that anybody's going to do for us. That's something that we have to do. What I'm telling you is we can do it. It's something we can do. There have been so many decades of contrapositive orientation where we have been taught to believe that there are limitations. That's all I got. I ain't got no more to yellow. It's been so many years of contrapositive orientation. I mean, centuries, man. Centuries. Just wrap your head around it. For hundreds of years, we have been taught to hate ourselves, to not work together, to fear our oppressor, to give up. What I'm telling you is that is not true. It's a lie. It's a lie given social, it's a lie given form. It's a lie that life has been breathing into. And for many of our people, it's all they know. What our responsibility is, what your responsibility is, if you're listening to my voice right now, what your responsibility is prove that's a lie. Prove it's a lie through your social practice. Prove it's a lie by seeking to educate, organize, and mobilize an autonomous infrastructure commission in your community. You can prove it's a lie. And I guarantee you this. It will transform the nature and structure of every single person to live where you live at.
And we can't keep living off the legacy of our ancestors. We keep talking about how our ancestors built the pyramids. Where are pyramids? When are we going to start building our pyramids for our future generations? We can't keep living off of them. If we say we great, then we must build our pyramids. So 50 years from now, 100 years from now, when they look at these anonymous infrastructures, these communities, they say, damn, these are the wonders of the world. You know what I'm saying? So we don't have to always look through National Geographic and say, hey, look what our ancestors did. What the hell are you going to do? What the hell are you going to leave for the future? We must build our own pyramid.
I'm going to give you an example of this. You have the Math and Science Center initiative. It's not just an educational program to teach our the brothers and sisters in our community and youth in our community STEM. New African Math and Science Center is also a functional technology incubator in our communities. Meaning, if you got a New African Math and Science Center initiative in your community and your cell phone break, you don't take your cell phone to Radio Shack. You take your cell phone to the local New African Math and Science Center, and they're gonna fix your phone for free. That is revolutionary. It is a new way of life. It's a way of life where we leverage our social cooperation into our prosperity, our empowerment, our genuine freedom.
I develop our own tech company.
That part. I encourage everyone that can hear my voice, go to autonomousinfrastructuremission.com. Review the blueprints for yourself. As you do so, envision their implementation where your feet is right now. in your community, where you are right now, how would you bring this into being? Where you are right now, how would it impact your community? They are designed to be universally applicable, to be modifiable. They're modular. That means you can implement them anywhere. I can't stress enough how vitally important it is for each and every one of us to take this serious. The alternative to not taking this serious is the logical conclusion of the current oppressive state that we find ourselves in. At some point, if we don't do something, if we don't act, we're going to find ourselves in a set of social conditions where very, very little can be done to save ourselves. When we say you are your own liberators, it's a clock attached to that. That clock is ticking. I can't stress the urgency of our state of affairs. You can't wait, man. This is something we have to do as soon as it can be done. We have to look upon our own self-sufficiency and self-determination the way we look upon our life, the way we look upon our future, the way we look upon our very existence, because that's just what we're talking about, our future existence. I can't stress enough the importance of exactly what we're talking about.
Yes, sir, man. I have a question, right? You know, how important is it for a person to be committed to this cause? You know, what is the importance of, what is the significance of their commitment? And also, if one lose commitment during the process or implement aim, what would be something to help them regain their commitment?
I'm going to answer both of those questions, and I'm going to answer them in turn. Your commitment, the success or failure of an autonomous infrastructure mission is going to rely primarily on two factors: how determined you are and how serious your team is. What I mean by how serious, I can't stress this enough, man. This is not going to be easy. If you're looking for an easy solution to our social our social oppression, get that out your head. It's the reason we call this the struggle. It's a struggle. But what you also have to understand is, we're not fighting to fight, we're fighting to win. So your determination, your grit, your desire to win or die trying is as necessary to this process as is unity. You have to look upon the actions and activities of developing an autonomous infrastructure mission the same way you look upon the actions and activities of sustaining your household. It's a matter of survival. You got to get your bills paid or they're going to evict you. You got to go to work. If we don't build the aim, eventually we're going to be evicted, but ain't we going to be evicted from no household. We're going to be evicted from existence.
When you speak about human nature, right? We understand human nature. We understand that some or many will be discouraged. That goes without saying. But if you consciously understand that it is a protracted struggle, you can always step back for a minute, resolve your family issue, and step back up. You see what I'm saying? So it's not like, well, I got to give them throw in the towel. Have that moment to revitalize yourself, rejuvenate, and get back in the fight. That's human nature.
Check this out. Some of the most dynamic coordinators for the Thomas Infrastructure Mission have had some of the most severe setbacks. They've had health setbacks. They've had personal tragedies in their families. They've had flat-out failures in the implementation of certain initiatives. But they didn't give up. They utilized that as a lesson in dialectics. That didn't work. But they also counted for what did. They adjusted those techniques. They adjusted their approach. Went back at it and were successful. That's what we mean by protracted struggle. We are going to be introduced to failures. We are going to be introduced to people who ain't trying to hear what you're talking about. There are so, understand something. I like to use this analogy. And it's an apt analogy. It's one of the reasons why organizationally we encourage brothers to watch the movie The Matrix. There's a scene in that movie where Morpheus is trying to explain what the Matrix is to Neo. And they're walking down the street downtown New York. And this chick walks by in a red dress. And Neo looks at her. And when he turns back to Morpheus, Morpheus says, freeze program. Tells Neo to turn around and look. When he turns around and look, it ain't no woman in no red dress no more. It's Agent Smith with a .45 ACP pointing at his head. And he told him, this is the number one lesson you need to learn about the Matrix. There are people who are so dependent on this system, who are so hopelessly ingrained into its very fiber, that at any moment they can become an agent, that at any moment they can become your enemy. If they are not disconnected from the Matrix, then at any moment they can become your death. That is relevant to what we're talking about building for this reason. You're going to encounter people who are dependent on this system or believe they are dependent on this system. They are not going to cooperate with you. They are not going to adopt their aim. You, as a autonomous infrastructure mission coordinator, have to prove in social practice the effectiveness of these blueprints. They have to actually serve people's interest. When you create an interest, you can change a mind. That's revolutionary. Revolution at its heart is a war for the minds of the masses. We're seeking to change how people think. If I could change how you think, I could change how you act. If I change how you act, I change your reality. I also change the reality of your environment because you're going to be constantly influencing it through your social practice. Looking upon a setback as anything other than the educational experience is an improper perspective on that setback. Contradictions exist for the insurance of continued motion. You have to have those contradictions. There's no such thing as perpetual victory. You're going to meet defeat. But that defeat is a learning experience. You learn what not to do. And then the determination to win ensures that you go right back at it with this new knowledge. And with that new knowledge, you overcome. And now you're at a new stage of development with new contradictions. And you had to go through that whole process again, ever onward and upward, until the ultimate transformation of social life, which is going to produce a new contradiction. If we understand that, discouragement should never enter our thought process. This is the science. We can't negate the human component. People are going to get discouraged. So understanding that going in as a determined coordinator for the Thomas Infrastructure Mission, it's an expectation. It's going to happen. How we respond to it will determine whether or not we're successful or we fail. In this instance, Failure isn't an option. We can't fail. We're talking about the future of our people. We're talking about the future of humanity. We can't fail. It's not an option. We have to win. We can't win if soldiers can't fight. Soldiers can't fight if they can't eat. They don't have knowledge. They don't have a base. They don't have a foundation. The aim is the foundation. That infrastructure from which we build, all that the future revolutionary infrastructure will be, we can do that now. If we execute that one contribution to the future of our people, we'll have advanced the cause far beyond anything we did in the course of the last 50 years. We are the product of the last 100. An opportunity now to transform the nature and structure of our communities. All we have to do is seize it. These are unique times that we live in.
Parson Elder, we're actually nearing the 5-minute mark, you know. Can you start giving us your final thoughts, yourself and Sister B? Give us your final thoughts.
My final thoughts would be, if you're serious about transforming the nature and structure of your community, become a local coordinator for the Thomas Infrastructure Mission. I can say it no more succinctly than that. Go ahead, B.
I just want to reiterate what our brother said and to please take a moment to visit the autonomousinfrastructure.com. Take a look at the initiatives, the correlation on George Jackson and the AIM, as well as our application and outline.
Okay, I appreciate it. I want to thank y'all, thank you both for coming to the platform and sharing out your understanding. Thank you for what y'all did the past, present, and the future. You know, and if anyone had any comrades, social love behind enemy lines, you look at your Georgia University. You can find on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, for name Georgia University. Be contacted by email at georgiauniversity71@gmail.com. We also have a website, which is www.georgiauniversity.gju.com. Again, it's www.georgiauniversity.gju.com. Long live resistance, long live African independence movement, and long live the guerrilla. Free land.
All power to people who don't feel free.
Yes, sir.